Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We want to thank you for making time to come on out to our Friday night discipleship class. It sure is a blessing to see those of you who were able to make it here tonight. And we hope and pray that as we continue to study the Bible together, that it will continue to strengthen your faith in the Word of God and also challenge you to live more for Jesus Christ. Amen. So y'all already know, quick announcements, and we'll get right into our Bible study material. One Book Rightly Divided. Hope you guys brought it back with you. We're almost done. Amen. We're halfway through. So a couple more months, we'll be done. And then our next material for discipleship class is right in those cases there called the New Testament Survey. And then we're going to do the Old Testament Survey. So what that looks like, it's just going to be a great study of the whole Bible, but we're just going to do summary studies of each book. It's going to be really awesome. So again, that's the focus for discipleship class. It's just to continue to add to your faith knowledge and asking questions and just all growing together as a family. Amen. All right. So quick announcements. I just want to apologize to some of those who had already made time for the 1st of November. So I know some of y'all have a desire to join us for that special guest preaching invitation. I got a call from the brother tonight or today around 1 o'clock while I was working out there, and he had asked me if it was cool to postpone it to Saturday, the 5th of November, Saturday, the 5th of November. So, of course, I said, you know, no, that's not a problem. But some of you has already made time for the workplace, so I do apologize in advance. So next Saturday on the 5th, if you're able to join us, once again, we're going to be leaving around here around 3 o'clock. We're going to go up there to Fontana, California. If you would like to join to be a blessing to me, that sure would mean a lot to me. Also, you can meet another great church family that's about an hour and a half north Fontana. Great people, great spirit there. And that way you guys can see the work of the Lord and what's going on out there. So with that said, I have now postponed it to the 5th of November to be going up there to fellowship and minister to Inland Baptist Church there with Pastor Edgar Marquez. Amen. So if you're able to join, would you please join? But if you're unable to join, would you do me a favor and be in prayer? That's the most important thing that I could always ask for, friend. It's just prayer because I already have the message. And as I have the message already prepped, I'm also asking the Lord to give me a little bit more here, a little bit more there. So I'm kind of preparing it as I go. Amen. All right. And then also tomorrow, as you guys know, the last Saturday of each month, my wife and I like to just take a day off. As you guys know, we are faithfully going soul winning weekly every other Thursday. The last Friday of the month today, we had a great time. I'll get to that in a minute. So tomorrow, since we have our day off, we have been invited, as I shared with you, from Brother Josh in El Cajon, special guest preacher, Brother David Spurgeon, former outlaw biker. He got saved. Great testimony. So tomorrow is going to be the last of that kind of cool, you know, mini refresher. Amen. So if you want to join my wife and I tomorrow, we're going to be leaving from here around 4 o'clock. So I already got a couple of you guys who want to join us. That's a blessing. 4 o'clock. We'll carpool. We'll go down to El Cajon. Have a good time. Come on back here and we'll call it a night so we can just, again, rejoice with the brothers down there in fellowship. Amen. So 4 o'clock, we'll leave. And then God willing, we'll be right back here Sunday for the church. Amen. And those are our upcoming announcements. Also, for our youth night, some of you have reminded me. Thank you, right over there. We're going to do it next Friday, brother, on the 4th. Next Friday on the 4th. So if you can talk to mom, that'll be great. Let her know Friday for the youth night and also little Diego, and we'll let little Matthew know as well. And I'm thinking we can just go to San Marcos and have a good time at the jump air or whatever that's called or whatever, okay? So we'll have a good time out there. Next Friday, youth night. Next Friday, youth night on the 4th. Amen. On the 4th. That'll be a blessing. All right. And then other than that, guys, again, we had a great opportunity. My wife and I, the Lord was good. We went down there soul winning for about an hour. Now, as we were pulling in to park, guys, there's some crazy stuff. Some dude stole something from a store, and he started running, booking it. And this Mexicano guy was chasing after him, and another dude with a bat chasing after him. Like, dang. And but you know what? Again, we have a purpose. We got to get down there. We're there to go tell people about Jesus. So I was like, oh, Katie, they're going to handle it. You know, it's just, unfortunately, that's what life is. So we parked, walked down Mission right in front of the theater. Not a lot of people, but we had a great couple of conversations. Katie was encouraged by another Christian and a little spiritual, amen, but she was encouraging Katie. And then I had a great conversation with a young man who practices Judaism. His name was Noah, but ironically, he doesn't believe in God. It sounds funny, right? practices the faith of the Jews, but denies the God of the Jews. It was kind of weird. But I just told him, friend, about Jesus Christ, told him how to get to heaven. I told him there's no one that's good enough. Amen. He was just saying, well, you got to be good enough. And I just gave him a little bit about that example of the Ten Commandments and obviously how God looks at the heart. So keep that man in prayer. His name's Noah. We handed out a couple of tracks for about 45 minutes to an hour. Last Friday of the month, my wife and I try our best to go down there. So again, you guys are always welcome to go with us. Last Friday of the month, we just go right before discipleship class, just to soul win from 5 to 6. And then down the line, maybe once we get more people, that sure be blessing, we can just go right before the football game. There's thousands of people, amen. How about we just go over there and pass out some flyers? I don't know if you guys remember high school, but you know who was out there handing out Bibles? The Gideons. Y'all remember the Gideons handing out little Bibles? There you go. We can just go out there and just, hey, we just want to let you know about Jesus. Amen. But we need more because there's a lot more people. Amen. So anyways, keep that in prayer. Those are some great things we can do to keep reaching our local community for Jesus Christ. Amen. Last but not least, prayer is the most important announcement we can make. Let's keep our sister Keena in prayer. I sent out a chain message to the brothers to be praying for her. Just health recovery. Amen. The Lord knows. We don't got to give all the world the details, but just know that she needs prayer, and we want to keep her in prayer as well as all of our other church members that might be going through something. And so please keep that in prayer. Amen. Right now, we're only doing YouTube. I haven't found a software yet to multi-stream. So if you haven't already subscribed, like, and share, I'd greatly appreciate that. And then giving, again, you guys already know, between you and the Lord, you can do that anytime, online or the box in the back. Let's get on going now. All right. Oh, and also for the sweaters, real quick, let me just remind you guys, I already sent out a link to the brothers in our devotional chain. So I know some of you guys were inquiring about that from last time. And so let me go ahead and just quickly remind you. Brother David Brown, he is the assistant pastor for my Bible school out there in Florida. Their fundraiser for these shirts. The good news, guys, is I already asked them, even though they don't, let's say if they don't get enough for the sweaters, because remember, they have to reach a certain quota. So here's what it looks like, right? I'm just going to show you guys real quick. They got so far 24 out of 50 is their goal. They got 6 days left. The good news, friend, is if we still place the order, it's still going to go through. They're going to just directly do it from their church versus the company, right? So there's no problem. So if you want to get a sweater, $31. If we can get the funds by no later than Sunday, you give it to me, we'll deposit it in our church account, just like we do with your giving and offerings, and then from there, we will place the order with the church card. So when you get a chance, $31, if you want a sweater, no later than Sunday, please give it to me, and then give me your size, and then also the color, and then we will make sure we'll place that order Sunday night, and that way we'll add to it, and then within a couple of weeks or so, we'll find out word from the status, and then I'll give you guys the feedback concerning when we can expect to receive them. So as you guys can see, really cool sweaters there. Jesus saves, Romans 1:16, believe the gospel. Isn't that cool? And then also, for our local shirts, I think last time we spoke, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we all kind of left off with navy blue being the color. So like I said, I'm going to give the brother Oceanside Boulevard comment, gray. Gray. We can do gray. We can do gray. But let's get a final consensus come Sunday. And then once we get a final consensus, I will go down to the local guy. He's right here on Oceanside Boulevard, right there. And then I give him the deposit for half of the payment. The good news is the shirts are not as much, but I need to get at least 24, right? That's kind of a minimum across the board. And again, if you can't afford the shirt, look, I already gave my word. Soul win, I'll give it to you for free. If you can't afford the shirt, then just be a blessing. Just pay for the shirt back, amen. But if you can't, that's okay. You give me your word, Brother Carlos. I'll put in work. I'll go soul win for Jesus. I'll give it to you for free. But we have to get at least 24, so we're going to have plenty, amen. So large, we'll get your shirt sizes. But we just need to get the color, and that's it. And then we'll get more shirts for the church. So that'll be cool, amen. So thanks for the reminder. And then last announcement before we get tonight. November 20th, after church service that day is going to be our church potluck Thanksgiving. So let's go ahead and remind ourselves of that. Talk to Sister Eileen of what you plan on bringing. Other than yourself, bring something so we can all have more food to enjoy, fellowship, and we'll have a good time that Sunday evening. We'll just have a good fellowship here at the church and have a Thanksgiving church dinner. Amen. And we'll move on with that. All right. All right, guys, 562. If you guys have the one book rightly divided, 562. Let's go ahead and continue in our Friday night discipleship with what we are discussing here. And just a friendly reminder of what we're talking about. We are just discussing how God is going to restore the nation of Israel back to himself. He is going to fulfill the promises that he gave the fathers, who are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and everything that he gave them as physical promises concerning the land, concerning redemption, restoration. God is going to fulfill it, irregardless if Israel has been faithful or not to their God. And so I'm going to give you some of my devotional that I was reading today for my Bible reading, and then we'll go back to the notes here. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up with me now quickly to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, that's in your Old Testament. I want to just read this portion of Scripture so that way you can get the idea. Because all throughout your Old Testament, here's going to be the general two things you're going to really identify. Number one, God instructing Abraham's seed, that is the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, I brought you out of Egypt, I put you in this land so you can be a distinct people for me and you can be a light to the Gentiles by your laws that are governing you. They were to be what the Christian church is doing now, which is evangelizing the world. They were to be that light and that extension of Jehovah God to the rest of the world, but they failed time and time again. What was their number one problem, guys? They're worshiping of false gods. That all throughout your Old Testament, guys, they would want to be like the heathen around them. What does that mean? I'll give you a quick application. Brother Carlos became a Christian, but Brother Carlos's family still practices Halloween. They still have sorcery things, right? They still dress a certain way. They still, you know, go party, what have you. The nation of Israel, redeemed out of Egypt, faith in the blood of the Lamb, putting under the doorposts, God provided for them enough supernatural power, signs, and wonders for them to know that is a real God, and he's telling us to do this, but we still want to be like the world. We still want to watch what the world watches. We still want to drink like them and dress like them, guys. And it got to the point when they would worship those false gods, you know what they were doing? They were offering up their children as sacrifices to those gods, and that made God angry. So a couple of words you're going to see in your Old Testament a lot is this. Anger of the Lord was kindled. God was wroth, right? So you're going to see all those things that made God upset because his people that he delivered and who he loved, they still didn't want to love him with her whole heart. They still wanted to be like everyone else around them. So that's the main theme. But then the second thing is he gave them the law. And he gave them prophets to remind them of what God said. All throughout your Old Testament, guys, you're going to see the prophets were just pretty much pointing them back to the Word of God. And then, of course, we know the supernatural promise of Jesus, the Messiah, who would be the ultimate Redeemer, because clearly their obedience wasn't sufficient. The law wasn't sufficient. Their sacrifices weren't sufficient. They needed God himself to come down to this earth to bear all their sins so that if they would put their faith in him, they could be completely forgiven. So here's a quick summary of what we're talking about. Look at 2 Kings chapter 13. And let's go down here to verse number 20. The Bible says that there was this prophet by the name of Elisha, S-H, Elisha. Before him, one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had was a man by the name of Elijah, with a J, Elijah. For a quick free prayer, the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mount before James, John, and Peter. There was two men standing by him when they saw Jesus in his glory. Those two men were? Free prayer. Who wants free prayer? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. So Elijah was a great man. By the way, he never died. He was taken up. He was raptured out. We'll talk about all that other stuff. But anyways, when he left, Elisha was his disciple. Elijah was training Elisha, and Elisha succeeded him in the ministry of a prophet, and Elisha became a great man of God. I mean, this guy was the man. He would be out there rebuking the kings and directing them by God's word what to do and the people. But sadly, he died. Look at 2 Kings 13:20. He died. They buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. So what did you guys read? There's a gang. a gang of men called the Moabites, right? They're the bands, and they were just invading it in the beginning of the year. So they killed a man, and they wanted to bury the man's body, amen? And they just happened to pick this little tomb right over here. They didn't know who was buried there. So that's obviously when you're out there causing a ruckus as wild banditos. They don't care, right? So they just threw that man in there. They didn't happen to know, though, that Elisha, the man of God's bones were there. And look at how much power were in the bones of that man. That man came back from the dead. Okay, now look at 22. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord, now watch this, was gracious unto them and had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of his covenant with. All right, the fathers, who are they? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So guys, if there's a great passage of scripture that can summarize the way that God deals with the nation of Israel as a whole, all the way from the time that God gave the promise to Abraham, he was a gracious God, a compassionate God, and respectful because of his covenant, his word. Abraham, I'm going to do this because I'm going to do this. Abraham, I know you're going to lie. I know you're going to go down there to Egypt. I know you're going to have relations with Hagar. Isaac, I know you're going to mess up. Jacob, I know you're going to mess up. And then all throughout your Old Testament, guys, that's exactly what the nation of Israel did as a whole. Thank you, God, for allowing us to come together to Bible study. I pray that we might learn more from the Word of God to strengthen our knowledge. And most of all, the knowledge that we gain can help other Christians to trust the Bible just like we do, so it'll compel us to live more for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue now. Page 562, the sign of the Son of Man. Now, when the world turns pitch black, remember we talked about that last Friday, Earth's inhabitants will not expect what is about to take place, nor how drastically things will change. The day of the Lord will be introduced with the sun and moon being darkened, but this phenomena of darkness is only temporary. Upon Christ's return, things instantaneously swing to the opposite end of the spectrum with the normal light multiplied seven times brighter. So what are the authors talking about? Right before Jesus Christ physically returns to the earth, and again, just a reminder, the Christian church, it's not the nation of Israel. We haven't replaced her. The Christian church will be raptured out of here, taken out from the earth before all that, you know, crazy judgments you guys heard about in the book of Revelation. Well, at the end of that 7 year, the Bible says one of those last crazy signs the earth is going to be given, Israel is going to be given, is the sun is going to be turned into blood and the moon is not going to give her light. So some supernatural phenomena in the heaven, if you will. But because the sun is not going to give its light, that's why every inhabitant on the planet, no matter if they're in Mexico, no matter if they're in Israel, no matter if they're in Europe or Asia, whatever, they're going to see Jesus coming back from the third heaven. And who's going to be following him? You and I on horses. Amen. So when that happens, here's what Isaiah 30 says. So if you have the study book, we're on the bottom page 562. But if you don't, you have the Bible. That's the best book you can have. Isaiah 30 and verse number 26, the Word of God says here, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." So this overpowering, brilliant light will shine forth sometime following the piercing darkness and blackening of the heavens. This bright light heralds the coming of the Son of Man from heaven's glory. So imagine when the light of the moon becomes as the sun in its normal strength. Isn't that crazy? When you look at that moon right now, friend, it is not as bright as the sun. You can look at that moon and you're not going to go blind. But can you imagine? God said that moon is going to shine as the sun. Isn't that cool? So imagine that. Its normal strength, it's going to shine seven times brighter. So to the human eye, page 563, these events might seem simultaneous, but the following sequence seems to take place. So what do we have here? The brightness of the sun will be magnified seven times, Isaiah 30:26. Let's go to Mark 13. And again, we're just going to go through this quickly if you have your study book. Mark 13. The Son of Man appears. The Son of Man appears. Mark 13, 26. Jesus said, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." You say, "Brother Carlos, can you remind me where he said that the sun is going to go dark and the moon?" Yeah, look at 24. "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." So there you have it. Okay, and then another reference there is Luke 21, 27. "So the brightness of the sun will be magnified seven times. The Son of Man appears. All tribes of the earth mourn." Look at Matthew 24, verse number 30. This is just rehearsal material here. Matthew 24, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So look up to the Bible screen one more time. This is not your notes. This is just Brother Carlos. Remember how I told you guys last Friday about Revelation chapter 1? So real quick, just look up to the screen here. Remember, when he comes back, here's what the Bible says. Behold, verse number 7, "He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." So friend, when Christ returns to the earth, the rest of the inhabitants of the earth that survived that, you know, terrible time of tribulation, they're not going to be happy to see the king, amen. They're going to be wailing. They're going to be weeping. They're going to be mourning. No, no, he's coming back. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. All right, so then after that, a great trumpet will sound. Let's go back now to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse number 31. This is the notes on 563. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So the remnant of the Jews that make it through the time of tribulation," because God is going to, remember, he's going to preserve Israel. He's going to revive Israel. He is going to save and redeem, and all Israel will be saved through the remnant that makes it. The angels are going to supernaturally gather them and collect them. Next, Christ sends his angels to gather the elect for protection. We just read that, verse 31. Next, Christ comes to earth from heaven to execute judgment upon the enemies of Israel. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And let's read together now here in verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now, friend, that's the Bible Jesus. That's not the Jesus of religions, and that's not the Jesus of supposed modern-day Christianity who don't believe in a Jesus that judges. Can I get an amen? The Jesus that you believe in is the same Jesus that was crucified for the sins of the whole world, is the same Jesus that rose from the dead by the power of the Father. It's the same Jesus that's going to judge them if they don't believe. So yes, you have to believe that. That's the same Jesus. Now, why do we say that? Because again, when you go across and you soul, when you door knock, you meet people, they all don't believe in the same Jesus. It blows my mind away, y'all. When we ask them and we talk to them and we ask them about their Jesus, you know what they'll say? "Oh, you know, my Jesus, he doesn't judge. He just loves everybody." You know, that kind of a new age feeling vibes of Jesus. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, you know what that Bible says? He's a righteous judge. Amen. So now look at verse 12, Revelation 19. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." You say, "Brother Carlos, where am I at?" You remember how you said earlier about the horses? Are you ready? I hope you're following along. Now look at verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." There's Brother Felipe, there's Sister Eileen, there's Brother Giovanni. We are all riding back with the King because he is the captain of the host of the army of the Lord, Almighty Jehovah. And when he comes to make war, we are there, amen, in the background, amen. So get ready, y'all, get ready. Go down to verse 15 now. "The Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." Look at that. Jesus coming back to judge the rest of the inhabitants of the earth who failed to trust the gospel they left behind. Number two, if they gave in to the Antichrist or they fought, whoever was protecting the Jew. I know I'm talking about a lot of stuff. We're not there yet. I know a lot of you don't know that, but just bear with me. The inhabitants that make it through the great tribulation, he is going to rule them with a rod of iron. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that's your Jesus. Next, what happens when he comes back? We're talking about the return of Christ, by the way, for those of you guys who just came in. The armies which were in heaven follow Christ to the earth. We just read that. And an angel stands in the sun, inviting the fowls of the air to gather for the supper of the great God. You say, Brother Carlos, what are they going to be eating? Carnitas and octopus? No, brother, they're going to be eating some Africans. They're going to be eating some Asians. They're going to be eating some Jews. They're going to be eating some people. Now watch this. Look at 17. You say, whoa, is that what it says? Keep reading. Bible says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Here it is. Here it is. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Why? Because they refuse to obey the word of God. They refuse to obey even all the supernatural signs that Revelation talks about God's coming judgment. There's angels, guys, flying in heaven during that time, and they don't want to listen to those angels. You know, some of our friends and family says, I just want to see a sign, you know, like from heaven, and then I'll really be convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Guys, God is going to allow them to see signs. God is going to allow them to see angels, whatever that looks like, y'all. If it's a UFO coming through or it's literally a supernatural entity just flying around in the heaven, all around Oceanside, all around Mexico, saying, fear God and keep his commandments. You know what that Bible says? If they refuse, hey, vultures, hey, birds, come on down here. I got some black meat for you. I got some white meat for you. I got some Mexicano meat over here. It's a little better here because Mexicano meat. But I got all these meat over here. Because they refuse to believe the gospel. Do me a favor. Turn your Bible now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. This is not in your notes. This is Brother Carlos. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. All right now, and let's go ahead and pick up here from verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. For those of you guys just coming in, we're just talking about when Jesus returns back to the earth, what is all going to go down during that time? All right, look at verse number 7. All right, now we know this is being written to a Christian church, if you will. And the Holy Ghost, through Paul, says here, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. So he will be. He will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now watch this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and number two, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, when Christ returns, will he judge? Yes. Who is he going to judge? Them that know not God. Them that disobeyed the revelation God was giving them at that time. Who is he going to come with? The mighty angels. But the armies. Who's that? That's Brother Felipe on that horse. That's Sister Maribel on that horse. That's Gibby on that horse. That's Brother Carlos on that horse. Amen. We're going to be going down. All right. So that's the sign of the Son of Man returning back to the earth at his second advent. Page 563. Anybody have any questions or comments about us talking about the return of Christ to the earth, the sign in the heaven? Anybody here? No. Okay, page 563 and your guys' study notes. Let's continue. The sending of Christ's angels. Let's go now to Matthew 24 if you have a Bible. Matthew chapter 24. Just to refresh our memories, what are we talking about tonight? We are just continuing on our study of God fulfilling his word that he gave the nation of Israel, and how he is still going to save them, and how he is going to deliver them, and yet they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged. They're going to go through a lot of purging. They're going to go through a lot of pruning, but God is still going to be faithful to the covenant that he made who? Abraham? There you go. Amen. All right. The next issue reveals the importance of every word of Scripture. Those who insist that the church will enter Daniel's 70th week fail to distinguish certain key elements and differences between two major events. Most confusion can be eliminated by simply noticing the differences between Christ's return for the church before the beginning of Daniel's 70th week and his return to gather the Jewish remnant toward the end of that period. Nowhere in any of Paul's writings where he refers to the church's blessed hope, also known as the rapture, is there any indication of angels being sent to gather the saved. Instead, all believers will be brought up to meet the Lord Jesus in the clouds. The Lord himself gathers the church to himself. So let's go now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. Is the room next door available, Katie? Room next door? Okay, great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All right, now let's go down here to verse number 16. So what are we talking about now? We are telling you and teaching you the difference and the distinguishing factor between us, the body of Christ, the church, and the nation of Israel. The reason why we believe that we will be raptured or caught up before the time of tribulation and great tribulation is because of these verses right here, where Christ himself is going to call us unto himself. He's going to meet us in the cloud. Versus, what did you read in Matthew? The angels are going to be gathering the Jews on the earth. So there's a difference. You got to study that now, because there's a lot of Christians that will have an ignorant interpretation about those two different verses. But now watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So God forbid, Brother Carlos dies, Brother Felipe dies, Brother Joe dies before the rapture. They go to heaven, we're on earth. But when it's time for the rapture to happen, his body's going up, my body's going up before you, Sister Maribel, Sister Aileen, Little Gibby, are still alive on the earth. And then once all the dead bodies that are Christians are up first, then you guys go up. See that? And then now verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So do you see the difference? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What did you guys read back there in Matthew 24? Jesus sends his angels to gather who? The elect, which are who? The Jews on the earth. So that's how we can rightly divide the difference between us as the body of Christ and the nation of Israel. Jesus himself descending from heaven and then catching away us, his body, up there. Versus Jesus still in heaven sending his angels down to the earth to gather those Jews in the land. All right, now verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Now, when the Jehovah's Witness wants to argue with you, brother, about the rapture, and that's not in the Bible, just like the word Trinity not in the Bible, again, I don't mean to give you that history, but I will, because it's needful for you to understand. From the Latin manuscripts, that's where that word comes from, raptura. In the Greek, it's called harpazo. In English, caught up together. What is it? It's the same connotation. We're being caught up. That's all it means. We're being raptured. We're being caught up. It's the same idea. That's why you can trust your King James Bible, because it preserves the meaning. So we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So either A, God forbid any one of us dies, you know, like in a car wreck or something happens to you, you're going to go to heaven immediately because you're saved. Amen. But if we are still alive at the time of the rapture, we can happen anytime. Amen. We believe that. The Bible says the dead in Christ go first, so their bodies go up first. Then we will go meet him where? In the air. So that's why whenever you guys go to like a cool little, these cool church conferences and they say, hey, if I don't meet you here or there, I'll meet you in the air. That's kind of that saying, because that's where we're going to meet Jesus, in the air. Amen. All right. Now, page 564, if you have your study book. If you don't, I hope you have the Bible. At the rapture, the Lord will meet the saved in the clouds, followed by all believers returning into heaven, where we will remain with Christ until his second advent. So what is another phrase for the second coming or the second return of Christ? Second advent. This is not the scenario presented throughout the Old Testament or the Gospels when describing Christ's return at the close of Jacob's trouble to establish a kingdom for the Jews. Instead of Christ himself gathering the elect at the second coming, the Bible says that Christ will send his angels to gather the elect, and those are the believing Jews, the remnant, to protect them from the onslaught of judgment proceeding from the Savior. In fact, the Bible is clear that Christ will lead his armies into battle rather than meeting with believers in the clouds. We already read Revelation chapter 19. This is likely the reason why the angels must precede Christ and his army. So now let's go back to Matthew 24. That's really good. So if we rightly divide the Bible and we let the Bible interpret itself, it seems to be plausible that is the case why the Lord sends his angels to gather that remnant, that little small amount of Jewish believers in him, and to physically protect him, because right before it goes down, y'all, Christ is going to come, right? He's going to judge. He's going to wage war. Them Hebrews need to be protected that put their faith in him. Unfortunately, many Bible teachers and students fail to grasp three of the key components of this passage concerning Christ's second coming. Number one, they fail to identify the elect. Do you see here in verse number 31? The elect. Remember, I already taught you guys this at church. You guys should know this by now. I showed you every verse of elect or election. It's a reference to either two people, one, the nation of Israel, or two, Jesus Christ. Never the New Testament church. If there's anything that appears to come off as that, I know it's in 1 Peter. It's a reference of us positionally in Christ. All right, number two, the meaning of the four winds. And number three, the heaven referred to within the context. And then we showed you guys last Friday, that means under heaven on the earth. Okay, we showed you the verses. The elect of Matthew chapter 4 identifies believing Israel. Let's go to Isaiah 45, 4, just to show you guys once again how you can back up scripture with scripture, because all you have to do is search that word, right, in your Bible, and then let the Bible interpret itself. Look at here, Isaiah 45, 4. The Bible says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect." Do you see there? "I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." So who is God's elect? Israel, Israel. Now, the four winds of heaven must be defined in light of the context and other correlating scriptures. If the angels are going to gather the elect from the four winds, it would make sense that the elect first had to be scattered into the four winds, obviously. The Bible repeatedly mentions this scattering of the Jews toward all the winds. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 5. This is a really good Bible study tonight. Ezekiel chapter 5. So what the authors are saying is, when you see that phrase in Matthew 24 about from the four winds, well, how do they have to be gathered out? Well, they had to have gone in, or if you will, scattered throughout the four winds. So let's read that now. Ezekiel 5, and let's go to verse number 10. The Bible says here, "Therefore the fathers," okay, now this is some crazy stuff, "all right, shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds." So again, as we're interpreting scripture, this is literally a reference to scattering throughout the earth. It's just another phrase to explain that. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 17, crazy stuff them Hebrews were going to go through, and they already went through it back in them days, man. They would literally eat their babies, y'all. That was crazy. That was crazy. Ezekiel 17, verse number 21. Bible says here, "And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it." So the scattering into all winds is defined as the utmost corners of the earth. Let's go to Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah chapter 49. And let's read together now in verse number 32. This is great, guys, because all we're doing is letting the Bible interpret itself. Isn't that great? Jeremiah 49, verse number 32. Bible says, "And their camels shall be a booty, and the multitude of their cattle a spoil. And I will scatter into all winds them that are in the utmost corners, and I will bring their calamity from all sides thereof, saith the Lord. The four winds are mentioned in conjunction with the four quarters of heaven. And let's go earlier to verse number 36. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. So again, the nation that God previously scattered toward the four winds will be gathered by the angels prior to the physical return of Christ. And now you know it. It's them being scattered into other parts of the earth. They're going to be gathered and then hence preserved over there in the wilderness place. Any diligent Bible student can recognize that these four winds cover the earth and are associated only to the first heaven where the winds blow. John in the book of Revelation provided additional confirmation in Revelation chapter 7. So let's go there. Revelation 7. And this is really cool because we can honestly now see how God is going to fulfill his promise that he gave the nation of Israel. Even though he has scattered them throughout the whole earth as a judgment for their disobedience to the law and obviously rejecting the Messiah, he is going to gather the remnant back and he's going to preserve them just like he said he would. Look at Revelation 7, verse number 1. After these things, this is what John said. I saw four angels standing on the, are you ready? Four corners of the earth, holding the what? Four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So there's a really good verse now to show you. Four corners of the earth associated with what? The four winds, or the winds. There you have it there. Isn't that great? But despite these truths, some post-tribulationists, what does that mean, brother? It just means there are those Christians that believe that the church will still go through the tribulation, and then we will be raptured. That's what's called post-tribulational. We are pre-tribulation. Can anybody guess what that means? Before. There you go. That's what we believe in at this church. And if you rightly divide, that's what you should believe. But if you're ignorant, hey, it is what it is. It's not a salvation issue. We can still eat and break bread. Amen. It's not a problem. All right. That the mere mention of heaven means the third heaven, God's abode. However, the context remains consistent since the passage refers not to the heaven of God's abode, but to the first heaven where the winds blow. If you want some more verses, you can read 1 Kings 18:45, Psalm 78:26, Daniel 7:2, Daniel 8:8, Daniel 11:4. If you want to get a good reference, let's just look at this one together. It's in your notes. 1 Kings 18:45 to get a visual of what this looks like. 1 Kings 18, verse number 45. Bible says here, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. So there you have it. It's a reference to our immediate heaven, hence earth, and that physical wind on our immediate atmosphere, if that makes sense. Not the third heaven where God dwells. All right, bottom page 565. Other passages clearly associate the four winds with the first heaven. For example, I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, Jeremiah 49:36. The four winds of the heaven, Zechariah 2:6. In each case, the winds and the heaven refer to the first heaven and never to the third heaven, which is where God lives, God's dwelling. The church will have resided for nearly 7 years at that time. Read the passage again, Matthew 24:31. That's our base text. Interestingly, we're on page 566 now. It truly does not change the outcome of Matthew 24:31, regardless of what heaven is being referenced. After all, in both Matthew 24:31 and Mark 13:27, the elect are being gathered from and not unto heaven. Let's reread that again. Let's go to Mark this time so that way we can get another gospel book. Amen. Mark 13. But if you have your study book, we're on page 566. The reason why we say that this is not necessarily the same as the rapture of the church is because, again, look at the phrase of Mark 13:27. The Bible says, when he sends his angels, he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So again, it's not being referenced to being caught up to the air, but rather just being removed from one place of the earth to another. The elect are being gathered from and not unto heaven. In other words, no one is leaving the earth and going up during that event. Any other private interpretation destroys the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 34. Let's read that together. This is real important. You can look up to the screen there, friend. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 4. Watch this. Here's again. Remember, God dealt with the nation of Israel conditionally based upon the laws that he gave them. They were to govern them in the land of promise. It had nothing to do with their eternal life, eternal salvation like we have. It was only by faith that they were to live by, as being justified by faith. So this would govern them. But if they didn't meet the end, amen, if they didn't meet what God told them, here's what he would do. Look, Bible says here in verse number 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. Remember what we read earlier in 1 Kings? And will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out the unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence, look at now, will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. So there you have it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3 and 4, define for us what the Bible means and describes as the outmost parts of heaven. It's just they were here in the land of Canaan. God judged them. Now they're over here in the land of Babylon. Now they're over here in the land of Syria. Now they're over here in the land of Assyria. But if they repent and they put their faith in God, what did God say? I will gather you where I scattered you. I'll bring you back over here. You were driven out over here to this part of under heaven. I'm going to bring you back right over here to this part of under heaven. You guys understand what we're saying here? Let's keep reading here in verse number 4. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possess. That can't be any more clear. Amen. That's pretty straightforward. You guys were over here on this part of the earth, but I promise if you repent and you put your faith in me, I will bring you. And actually, what did he say there in verse number 4, guys? I'm gonna fetch you. I'm gonna just get you by that. Come on back over here, this land of promise, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and thy heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. What do you always hear Brother Carlos say behind this pulpit? It has always been a matter of the heart. It's always been, friend. God always wanted his people's heart. It doesn't matter the sacrifice if their heart's not in it. It doesn't matter the tithe if their heart's not in it. It doesn't matter any of that. It's all about the matter of the heart, friend. All right. So this scripture truth taught is that those who had been scattered by God all over the earth, that's the four winds of heaven, will be gathered by his angels just prior to Christ and his armies arriving to the earth. The gathering will bring them into the land, Deuteronomy 30. But those who had endured persecution, they will find refuge, being protected and preserved. Those accused and attacked by Satan will be redeemed and secured in Jesus. Jacob's testimony that once was, quote, all these things are against me, Genesis 42:36, will become, if God is for us, and who can be against us, Romans 8:31. So we're on page 567 now in your notes. Furthermore, Matthew, at the time of his writing, neither knew of nor wrote of the New Testament church's removal from the earth. Paul, on the other hand, knew of both the blessed hope and the second coming, and clearly distinguished between the two by pointing out that the Lord himself would come and get his church while sending his angels as forerunners of his second coming to the earth. If the calling up of the saints at the rapture is the same event as that described in Matthew chapter 24, why is there no mention by Paul of the armies following the Lord at the rapture? That's a good question for the post-tribulationalists. It's because they're two separate events. They're not the same. So don't miss it. There is no general catching up in the days approaching the second advent. It is simply not a rapture. The angels were gathered together, the elect, for protection upon the earth. This protection takes place towards the end of Daniel's 70th week, otherwise known as the 7 years. You already heard that. And almost simultaneously with Christ's return in vengeance on the day of the Lord, they are gathered into the land and enter the millennium. Anybody have any questions so far of what we're talking about concerning how God is going to preserve the nation of Israel right there during that time of the Great Tribulation. Anybody? Questions? Anybody comments? Anybody comments? Nobody? Okay. Do me a favor. Turn your Bible now to Isaiah 26:20. Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 20. Here's a great verse. If you haven't thought about this before, I want you to reconsider this. Maybe you haven't read in a minute. Some of y'all may have not even read the Bible book of Isaiah yet. Hey, one day get through it, amen. It's a really good book. 66 chapters, just like the whole Bible. 66 books, very, very, very promising. Talks about the judgment, talks about Jesus, the Messiah, talks about him coming back in the millennial reign, all in that book of Isaiah. Look at here, verse number 20. Think about everything we were talking about tonight, guys. What does he say there? Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. What does that sound like? It sounds like people being hidden from what? Indignation. Indignation from where? The whole earth. Our look at here, verse number 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to what? Anybody following along? What does it say there? Punish the inhabitants of the earth for their what? Their iniquity, their sins. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So there you have it, guys. Isaiah 26, 20 through verse 21. Cross-reference that with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about Jesus in flaming fire taking vengeance, and then Matthew 24, and then Revelation chapter 19 about the Lord coming with eyes as a flame of fire, the church, the armies behind him, because he is going to judge and make war. When he comes out of his place, you know who he's going to hide? My people, the Israelites, that little small remnant. Y'all come over here. I'm going to protect you because I am going to unleash this judgment, y'all. I'm going to burn this place up. I'm going to pour out some judgment with a rod of iron. He is going to hold it down, as we say in the Bible. All right, last chapter before we close. 5, 6, 7. Israel's gathering versus the church's rapture. In the passages describing the church's blessed hope, there's only one usage of the word gather. In fact, even that single reference distinguishes the church's rapture as our gathering together unto him, 2 Thessalonians 2. Not unto the land. The word unto identifies destination. In other words, the church's departure is a gathering of the saints unto the destination. And ours, for the Christian, will be Christ in the clouds, in the air. Remember that? This significance may not be self-evident until one considers that the gathering of Matthew chapter 24 matches the promised gathering of the Old Testament. To understand this better, consider a few of the promises of Israel's future final gathering, as the Bible repeatedly uses this terminology or this phrase to describe that promise that God made him. So we already read it, Deuteronomy 30, but again, talking about gather thee, right? Gathering from that. Let me go ahead and quickly pull these up to the screen. So if you want to look up to the projector, we're going to just, again, look at the scripture verses that denote the same idea or the concept of God gathering, right? Physically from one place to another destination. Look at Nehemiah 1, and if you have your study book, we're on page 568. If you don't have it, you can just look up to the screen, amen. Nehemiah 1, and we're going to go through these quickly. So let's go there now. Nehemiah chapter 1. If Brother Carlos can find it here on his Bible study software. What am I doing? There we go. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 9. Watch this now. Bible says, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, again, we're getting it now, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. And where is that place? Who? Where is it? Yes, the land of Israel, specifically Jerusalem. Remember, he placed his name there. Okay, second verse now, Mark 13. We're just going to read through these lists. Some of you guys already have it there. We're almost done. Mark 13, bless you. Verse number 27, the Bible says here, then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. We already talked about that. Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to just go through these quickly. Verse number 12. The Bible says here, he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Again, great verses. Isaiah 54, verse number 7. The Bible says here, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Talking about the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 23, verse number 3. Bible says, I will gather the remnant of my flock. You can read that with Romans 11. Christians, you can understand now, just a small portion now is going to be saved. Of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Same book, Jeremiah, but let's go to chapter 32, 37. Bible says here, guys, and behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. A couple of more. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Guys, it's pretty clear now as we're studying the Bible. This is how God is going to physically preserve his people. He's going to physically gather that remnant of the Jews during the time of tribulation to protect them from all the judgments that are going to come about. Look at Ezekiel 36, 24. Bible says here, for I will take you from among the heathen, that's the countries, them that know not God, remember that, and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Again, there it is, the land. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Bible says here, guys, in verse number 6, in that day, say the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. It says here in verse number 7, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forevermore. A couple of more. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. And we're going to read here in verse number 19. Bible says, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will give them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. 5:6-9. These verses should sufficiently prove that Israel will be regathered into the land. God promised he would one day gather a remnant of the nation of Israel. That gathering would take place upon this earth with them being led back into their own land for safety. Not one time is the third heaven in view. And the context in each passage suggests the timing is Christ's second advent followed by Christ's millennial kingdom. Replacement theology teaching will struggle to pervert this event calling it the rapture. Amen. Let me show you one more verse before we come to a close. Turn your Bibles to the book of, turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I want to show you something really cool. When I was out there witnessing with my wife and I, right, I told you guys before Friday night Bible study, the last Friday of each month, if you want to join me, that'd be a blessing. We were down there soul winning, and I was talking to this kid, right, who says he believes in Jehovah. He's a practicing Jew, but he doesn't even believe in him. It's crazy. He called God an it. He doesn't even know. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with the kid, but I tried to tell him about his God, amen. He didn't want to hear it. It is what it is. Now, remember how the Bible, how Jesus said he's going to send his angels? Have there been angels used by God to protect Israel or to guide Israel? Yes. Let me show you real quick before we close. It's a really cool verses. If you haven't read your Old Testament yet, I guarantee you're going to be blessed when you see how cool God fellowship with them, and literally an angel would lead them and guide them. This is pretty cool. All right, watch this. Exodus chapter 14. All right, and then read here with me in verse number 19. And the angel of God, now watch this, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And so that angel was in front of the nation of Israel, right, as they're leaving Egypt. And then what did he do? He went to the back. He is protecting them from who? Pharaoh and the army. You guys remember that story? Let me give you one more. Let me see here if I can see here. Give me one quick second here. Let me look this up in the book of Exodus. I know it's in Exodus. Give me a second here, guys. This is just Brother Carlos' Bible memory, man. That's all it is here. All right, now watch this. Exodus chapter 23. Watch this now. This is really cool. Exodus 23. This is really cool. This is what I tried to talk to the kid about today. And it's funny that when you talk to these supposed people who practice Judaism, it's crazy how Christians know more of their Bible than they do, amen? It's because we love their God. We love Jehovah, man. He's a good God, amen? He sent his son to die for us. Praise the Lord. All right, real quick, before we come to close, check this out. God telling Moses about this angel that's going to be used to watch over the nation of Tedra to do all that. Watch this. Look at Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Isn't that cool? Beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. So what did God Almighty tell the nation of Israel? I am going to send my angel. He is going to lead you guys. He's going to guide you guys, and he's going to fight for you guys, but you better listen to his voice, because if you don't listen, he's not going to forgive. Now, that particular angel, we'll talk about that next time, but that's a special, and it's believed to have been, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ, right, because he can pardon and forgive. Anyways, I just want to leave you guys with this. God, the God of Israel, uses angels to physically protect who? His people. So at the time of the second coming, when Christ returns, who is he going to send? The angels. And they are going to gather who? The Jews, that small portion. And he is going to lead them. And he is going to protect them from what? All the crazy judgments on the earth. Amen? Anybody have any questions, comments about what we talked about tonight? Comments, questions? Nobody has any comments, questions? All right, guys. Well, let's go to none with a word of prayer. If nobody has any comments, questions. By the way, friendly reminder, tomorrow, remember, the last Saturday of each month, soul winning, we take a pause. So tomorrow night is Brother Josh's fellowship in El Cajon. We're going to meet at 4, carpool, 4:30. Head down there. Have a good time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for those that came to church tonight, God. I hope they learned something. I hope their heart was stirred to continue to live for you, to continue to be obedient to your voice, to continue to be the best Christian they can be, God, knowing that just like you are going to keep your word and your covenant you made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even more so, the word you gave to your son, Heavenly Father, that those of us sinners who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you would give us everlasting life. You would forgive us of all our sins. You would give us the Holy Ghost and the Holy Bible, not so that way we can continue to live like we used to with the other gods or the God of this world, but God, knowing the true God, we can be living differently now. We can be living peacefully now. We can be living holy and as children of light, God. So, Lord, I pray that you strengthen your children tonight and help them to get back home safely, God. And we thank you, Father, for all you're doing with our church family. Help us to continue to increase in our knowledge and most of all in our bond, God, that we will stand as one like we learned from our Sunday study or Wednesday study go about standing as one. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Church, love you. God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your night. Amen.